Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Is this your testimony today? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Are you still hanging back, wondering if it's really all that good? Maybe my life is better off without God and His plans for my life. My challenge this morning, my goal this morning is to challenge and encourage each one of us to take God at His word. Do you believe God? Do you trust God? Does your life and each decision you make from day to day show that you trust God? Does it show that you truly believe God and believe that what He says is best for my life, for your life, is really what is best? And that finding and carefully following that path, the plan that He has for you or for me, is the only way to ever really find contentment and meaning in life. 2 weeks ago, I closed with, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." I have a number of verses that I'm going to have on the PowerPoint, but I would like for you to return to 1 Corinthians 2, and we'll be reading that later. I told my wife I have a little bit of a problem. When I know what I'm going to preach, I always feel like I need to have a little bit of a background or a base for that. And by the time I'm done with that, I'm out of room for my message. So I guess we'll see how far we get. I'm not going to finish this again this morning. This is the second part of, I guess the overview would be choosing God's will for my life. Choosing God's best for my life. And realizing that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. If I try to take what God says and process it on the basis of, does it make sense? Is this really what I want to do? Is this really what's best for my particular life? It's not going to make sense. We need to take God at His word, and then it will make sense. I have a quote here. I'm not even sure who it's from, but it says, "The faith that saves is the total response of the whole self to the will of God. It is a response of the mind in belief, the heart in trust, the will in conduct. What I want to do being submitted to what I actually do. It is to accept the fact that God goes all out for us and then to be willing to go all out for God." I have a lot of scripture again this morning I'd like for us to look at. Ephesians 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." I want us to catch that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a song that the Gospel Echoes used to sing. I think there may be a Southern Gospel group that sings it now. "Are we walking into the enemy's camp, laying our weapons down, shedding our armor as we go, leaving it on the ground? We've got to be strong in the power of His might and prove to the enemy that we are the army of the Lord and we've won the victory." Are we in battle? Is your daily life a good, is a battle a good description of your daily life? Do we act like it? Can our children tell that mom and dad are in a war against the wrong? And that mom and dad are serious about defeating the powers of darkness on every side? Or is it live and let live? I think that's a very easy position to take. No, I don't want evil in my life, but I'm not necessarily going to go defeating evil. I'm just live and let live. How much are we on guard, and how much are we defending our lives and our children's lives against the power of the darkness? 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now we take that, and we apply that to ourselves. I need to be sober. I need to be vigilant, because if I'm not, the devil is looking for a chance to destroy me. And that's true. But I remember hearing a speaker mention that that's not just for us. It's not just me that Satan's after. It's our wives and our children. He wants our family. I think it's easy for me to imagine my little girl's 3 months old. Well, surely she's young and innocent and pure enough that Satan's not interested in her. That's not who he's after. Or my son that's 2 years old. He's young and full of life and just energy and joy and whatever. Every minute's a new discovery for him. Surely Satan doesn't want to destroy someone like that. He's after other people, older people. I believe that Satan wants to destroy anyone he can. That baby on your lap, that 2-year-old that you're crazy about, your 12-year-old, that's just entering that awkward stage in his life where he needs guidance and a steady hand and someone to walk through it with him through the tough times. Satan wants to destroy them all. And men, we're the first line of defense in our families against Satan. It's not to say that wives can't pray and wives can't have spiritual discernment. It's not to say that our children don't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. But we as men are the defenders, the protectors, the providers, physically and spiritually, for our families. And if Satan can get us, in a large percentage of the time, he's going to get the family. We need the Spirit and we need each other. I want our time this morning to be a time of reflection, a time of looking inward. Asking myself, am I choosing the best thing? Am I in a battle? Tom right now is talking about building our houses. And this Wednesday night he talked about we build with either gold, silver, and precious stones, or we build with hay, wood, and stubble. And I don't think that's necessarily talking about right and wrong. I think it's talking about good and okay. What I do with my time, what I do with my resources, what I teach my family is valuable and worth time, worthwhile, and what's not. Am I living after what makes sense to me? I reason things out and what makes sense to me. And we do have to use discernment. We do have to do that. But how much of it is led by the Spirit and how much of it is according to the Word? Am I living after what makes sense to me, or is God through the Holy Spirit leading each step? Am I doing all I can to make sure my children are thoroughly furnished unto all good works? Am I at a point where I'm content if my children grow up and become good, whatever it may be, farmers or carpenters or fence builders? As long as they're just average people and don't cause a lot of waves, I'll be happy. At least they're not bad. Or am I working to make sure they're thoroughly furnished and do every good work? Get that education. Learn to, and education is not the end all be all. But I guess my eyes were really open to this at Faith Builders. And I don't even have my high school diploma. But going there and seeing young men and young ladies that were done with their high school, and now they're going into Christian-based college studies with the idea, not with the idea, okay, if I do 4 years of this, I can get a better job. If I do, you know, whatever it may be. But with the idea, if I go in here, I'm going to complete the MAP or TAP, Teacher Apprenticeship Program. TAP was that. MAP is Ministry Apprenticeship Program. And that ministry is not necessarily what we think of as a minister, but it's ministering. It's men and women going, getting an education so that they can serve God to the best of their ability. I don't advocate education as being better or more important or taking the place of a personal relationship with Christ. The apostles were not really all that educated. And the people, it says they took note they had been with Jesus. That's where it starts, and that's the most important thing. But I think we can do the world, the church, and the kingdom of God a lot of good if we encourage our children to do all they can. If we do all we can as parents to make sure that as my son grows up, he becomes a man of God that is perfect or complete and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 2. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And it's easy for us to say, okay, well, that's, see, God says, some of us are going to be made for honor, some of us are going to be made for dishonor. You know, there's the gold and silver pots, there's the wood and earthen pots. It's, you know, He needs us all. The next verse says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Encouraging our children and ourselves. And that's another thing. I remember when I worked in the factory, I said something to one of one of my coworkers about going to church. He said, well, I don't go, but I take the kids. I make sure they get there. And we right away say, well, that's not right. You take the kids, yes, but you need to be there. That's for you too. And I was thinking about it this week. I wonder how often I say or I think it's really good for young people to serve, to go on a mission trip. They learn to serve. And that's good. But that's for the young people. I want them to learn how to serve now because they need to realize that pretty soon they're going to have to get jobs. And then that's what's important. Rather than with the idea, okay, this man that I just said that I worked with, I believe his whole intent and his whole thought was, we'll have him in church because church is a good place for kids to be. But once they grow up, then they'll have to get a life and be more like me. Church is something for kids. how often do we say service is something for kids? Service is something for youth. Youth are the ones with time. Youth are the ones with freedom. And there's some truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. But am I teaching my children to serve so that they make good servants as they're young, and then when they get older, they'll realize that work is what's important and get with the program? Or am I trying to instill in them the idea that no matter what I'm doing, I can be serving? Service is valuable. Service is important. Service to people is how I serve God. And again, being equipped unto every good work. Romans 8. Going back again to being led of the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Everyone knows that verse. You hear that quoted a lot. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The next part says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Do I mind the things of the flesh? What drives me? What gets me going? But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or earthly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Here again, when I try to read and I try to understand and I say, but God wouldn't ask me to do that, am I using my carnal reasoning? The carnal mind is enmity, or is in opposition to, it's an enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It needs to be replaced with a spiritual mind. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, I said I'm going to be covering some ground and then trying to make application next time. I once again am going to be doing a lot of background, legwork, I guess, trying to establish the importance that each one of us focus on seeing with spiritual eyes, with doing things that are good for our children, good for our family, that are long term, rather than what suits me today or even this afternoon. What do I feel like doing tonight? Thinking long term and choosing the best rather than the good or the good enough. Here I have again what I had last time, 1 Corinthians 2 and going on into chapter 3. I asked you guys to be reading that and thinking about that, and I'll ask you again to continue to do that. I don't think we're going to go over that today. We're running short on time. We have a little ways to go here yet. But I'll leave it up there, so that you can look at it as we talk about different points here. Verses 1 through 4, the Spirit is what gives power to His words and reasoning, not man's wisdom. I think I'm going to read that after all. I think I'm going to go ahead and read it. I think it'd be better. It's like Tom said one time, if a preacher says, I'm going to talk rather than read the Scripture, then what I'm saying is more important than the Scripture. So let's go ahead and read that. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Okay, maybe that's, I'll read that in blocks. Okay, so there's 1 through 4. He says, the Spirit is what gives power to his words and reasoning, not man's wisdom. When I read the Bible, do I realize, do I appreciate the fact that I am holding the very words of God in my hand? I know it's easy to say, and I often say it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, or Peter says in 2 Peter, John says, really God says, we're holding the word of God in our hands. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And he's saying, I don't want you to believe this because of what I said or I argued so persuasively, but that it's because of the power of God. That is why you believe what I have to say. Don't trust your own reasoning or that of other men. God has already done the figuring out. He's done the calculating. You just need faith. Think about it. If I take what God says and I say, no, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm saying, you know what? I am wiser than God. I know better than God, and I know more what's good for me than God does. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. We first of all need to be drawn to God, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. You didn't come to God, you didn't come to salvation because one day you made a wise choice. We have that choice, and we can reject God, but we come because we are drawn. First of all, we are drawn by the Father. So first of all, consider what an honor it is to even be drawn to start with, to even be invited to follow Jesus. And then we decide if we're going to follow Him or not. And when we do, when we decide, okay, I am going to follow Jesus, From that day on, you must be all in. We go all in. We sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. We don't say, I'm still thinking about following Jesus. Or, I'm considering continuing to follow Jesus. Now I realize it is true that Paul said, I die daily. In a sense, it may be that daily choice. But in another sense, that is something that I have decided. I know who I have believed. And I'm committed to going all the way with Him. But I'm settled in my heart, once and for all, I will follow Christ. Going on with the idea of taking Christ at His word, and doing as He says, and following Him, and realizing it's best. Job 13 says, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I trust God as long as my business does well. I'll trust Him as long as my family's health is well. I trust Him as long as whatever it may be. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Going back to 1 Corinthians, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The hidden wisdom, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Others who tried to understand the wisdom of God using their human reasoning, got it all wrong. Let's not make the same mistake. Verse 9 and 10. 9 is probably one of the most misunderstood verses, most often misapplied verses in the Bible. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And we say that's about heaven. That's about, oh, you just can't imagine the beauty that's there. And there may be some truth to that, but verse 10 says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Anything that we know of God has come through revelation of His Spirit. Whether that's through His Son or through the Spirit now, we in our day have the written Word of God. That's how we know who God is. Our eyes, our ears, our hearts, all are unable to figure out God and His plan for us. If you look at the different religions in the world today, the different false religions, many of them started with either a vision or, probably more often than that, with someone going off and meditating until God finally spoke to him and he began this religion. "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him." His Spirit is the only way that we get truth. Now, just like anything else, there is a balance here, or there is two sides to this issue. On one side, we have those who don't need the Spirit's guidance. "I've got my own ideas, and I've been told that. So what do you believe about God, or what do you believe about the Bible?" "Oh, I've got it figured out. I think a little different than most people do on this, but I'm good. He's trying to figure it out without the aid of the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, we have those that the idea that everything I do should be led of the Spirit, to the point where I don't even use common sense or reasoning or logic. And if you try to reason with me or show me where I'm wrong, I say, "God told me." And how are you going to argue with that? "God told me to do this. God told me whatever it may be." You even hear people, on the news, "God told me to kill my children." Well, let me ask you this. How do we know that's not true? We have the Word. I don't want to discount the Spirit speaking in our lives. In fact, that's where I'm going with this. I want us to be open to the Spirit leading in our lives. But we have the written Word as the authority on which we stand. And it's by the Word, I believe the Spirit opens the Word to us. And I believe that's a very important part of it. And that's really the whole drive of this concept, is reading with an open mind so that the Spirit can lead through His Word. But He will never lead contrary to His Word. I've said that before, and I'll probably say that a lot of times again. The Spirit will never lead against the Word. The Spirit will never lead in a way that contradicts the Word or disagrees with the Word. I believe the balance lies in our trusting the Spirit to lead us through our knowledge of the Word and our familiarity with the character of God. Hebrews talks about having our senses sharpened by use to discern good and evil. Let's make a habit of testing what we hear, of being open to the Spirit's leading. I think this is where we'll stop for the day. I realize I still haven't made a lot of practical application. I ask that you guys continue to look at these scriptures. There's 1 Corinthians 2 and John 6. Keep thinking about the idea of being led of the Spirit. A number of years ago, I did a fence estimate. I never did do the job then, but for a man that was getting into raising beefalo, a cross between cows and beef and buffalo. So they call it beefalo. And he made the comment, he said, "You can chase a beefalo anywhere he wants to go." Am I willing to be led of God anywhere that I want to go? Lord, lead me as long as it makes sense. Lord, lead me as long as it fits my schedule. Lord, lead me as long as it's what I have in mind. Am I willing to actually be led, even when it doesn't make sense? Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Search me, try me, lead me. Let's seek the Lord and seek His will for our lives and seek His leading in our lives. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, I thank You that we do have Your Spirit. I thank You, Lord, that we have Your Word, such a precious gift that so many people live without. I thank You, Lord, that when we decide to follow You and serve You, it's not just a stab in the dark, but we can just know we have the Word, we have the Spirit's witness in our lives, and we can just have that blessed assurance that comes in knowing You and walking with You. I thank You for that. I pray, Lord, for anyone here that doesn't know what that means, who doesn't have that peace and that just the guidance and relationship with You. I pray, Lord, for them. I pray, Lord, for open eyes, that You would open their eyes to see, that Your Spirit would reveal to them what You have prepared for them. Just the joy that awaits in abandonment and service to You. Show us our hearts, search us, try us, lead us. We thank You. We give ourselves to You. We pray Your blessing on this week, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.